to my podcast, which I have decided to call Super Marcy's Super Podcast. That works pretty well, I would say. And I really wanted to just talk about a subject that I absolutely love, and I often get asked about, which would be horror films. I do actually get asked a lot why I like horror films, what sort of enjoyment I get out of horror films. I think that horror is probably one of the most misunderstood genres out there, and maybe it's time to sort of give it a bit of a rundown and dissect it a little bit. I think there's more than meets the eye within horror. So let's get right into it. So, first question, why do I like horror films? Well, not easy to answer, I must say. Let's give it a go. There are probably many different types of horror. You would have, you know, your horror comedies, you would have your slashers, you would have, you know, your really brutal, gore-infested horror. And then you'd have your, you know, mythical creatures, your werewolves, your vampires. So there is, you know, a lot going on in horror. Sometimes they will, you know, have all these different things in one film, or one will just be a slasher, one will be maybe a slasher comedy type thing. So there's lots of different things, and I actually quite like everything that horror has to offer. I would start maybe with my favourite horror movie of all time, and in case you don't know what that already is, it is Reanimator. Reanimator, I think, was released in 1985. I was probably about one at the time. I discovered it, I think, when I was in high school. It was a film I'd read about on some websites, and it sounded really cool, so I wanted to check it out. And the first version of the film that I saw, the actual VHS cover said it was uncut, but it was actually the cut version, and the cut version goes longer than the uncut version, because all the stuff in there, there's like not a drop of blood. It's a completely different film. So I'd recommend you find the uncut version, which I think is 86 minutes long. And Reanimator is, yeah, horror comedy, and it just works so well. It's just, everything about it is great. It's got this awesome, awesome script. It is so funny. You've got these really quirky characters. The main one would be Herbert West, played by Jeffrey Combs, who's also very awesome, and you can catch him in Star Trek. That's where I first discovered him. Probably best known in Deep Space Nine. So if you haven't, if you don't know who he is, definitely look him up and check out some of his work. So yeah, the appeal mainly, you know, even watching the cut version, I thought it was really funny, and you know, that it was such a thing, it just worked so well. So yeah, getting to the uncut version, it's very, quite gory, but it's funny. I mean, it's ridiculously over the top, it's not realistic at all. The point of the story is, you know, here's a guy, he's invented a serum, injected it into a, you know, something that has passed on, and it will reanimate. But the results are not ideal. You could see that in the scene where he reanimates a dead cat. So yeah, definitely it's got its moments, that's for sure. But I just have so much fun. It's so funny, and it's just so over the top. Everything about it is just awesome. The acting is just so, they know what sort of movie they're in, and they really play to that. It's just got everything you want, so, well, everything I want anyway. It is so insanely awesome. I would highly recommend it, maybe as a starting point, if you're not sure about horror and you want to have a laugh. Definitely, definitely right up there. And another really good horror comedy would be probably like Evil Dead 2. Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn, I think. That's the right title. If I'm wrong, you can cut my head off. which is a film by Sam Raimi, and it stars Bruce Campbell. I'm sure most people would know Sam Raimi as the director of the Spider-Man films, and Bruce Campbell is the guy he likes to give a cameo in, so we like to put Bruce Campbell in a cameo role in Spider-Man, so yeah. It's like Reanimator in the way that it is really gory, but it is just so over the top and it's so hilarious. There's like, if you haven't seen it, I really don't want to ruin it for you, but there's, you know, his hand gets possessed by the evil and he ends up having to cut it off and his hand attacks him and, it's great. Like, if anyone hates that movie, there's something wrong with you. So, they're probably like maybe my favourite horror comedies. I think they probably really started to take off around that time, so we can move on to, say, your slasher films. I think, you know, these tend to turn more into franchises because you have Friday the 13th, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street. They can also be rather funny, but it just depends which road they want to go. Like, Nightmare on Elm Street, I think, started off a bit more serious, and it sort of, as it went on, it just became more funny. Freddy was this one-liner type guy, and I think the characters were just so poorly written that you kind of, you just wanted Freddy to just get. Friday the 13th, as that went on, the characters were just so thin, and you're just like, ah. Just get rid of them already, and you'd just be sitting there waiting for some interesting sort of way to get rid of someone. So that's what some of the appeal is there. I've mentioned Halloween, which I don't really think is all that hilarious. It's not supposed to be. It is more serious, and Halloween was started by John Carpenter, who directed the first one. I think he did the second one as well, and the third one. Everyone has nothing to do with the rest of them, it's not with Michael Myers or anything. It's an entry on its own. If you really want to get into sort of your slasher, more horror type things, go for one of your franchises. Where I started, I think, was probably like Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Elm Street, I think Halloween came a little bit later. And I guess if you're after something, some of the new wave, which is, gosh, not even new wave now, it was like 13 years ago, it was Scream and its sequels. They were sort of homage to those sort of films. I mean, that's always a fun one to check out. Where else would we go with this? I think we would go on to, say, your more brutal horror films, which this is probably a lot more difficult to explain, and so just bear with me. I'd say an example of a brutal horror film would be Last House on the Left. It's not an easy film to watch. You could argue that because you might think it's a really bad film. Made in, 1972 or something, Wes Craven's first film. The acting is not always fantastic, the music doesn't really match the themes. It's got the bumbling cops, one of them is Martin Cove, who you should know as Creasy from The Karate Kid. Is it Creasy or Crease, whatever? I should know that because I've seen Karate Kid a billion zillion times, but anyway. Yeah, so, you know, at its core, it is a brutal film. It's not, you know, life isn't peachy keen. There are bad people out there. Bad things happen to people. This is, you know, its message. This, you know, you get your two innocent girls. They meet up with the wrong group of people. And these people, I think they know that they're sick. They're just twisted. They're messed up. You know, they've come, I think they escaped from prison. And basically, they're gonna just put these girls through hell. And you know that it's coming. You can feel it, and you know, if the two girls had been a little bit more likable, it probably would have hurt more to see what happened to them, but I just don't think they were that that well written that you really felt something for them. They just seemed a little hippie, happy-go-lucky type. But, you know, I think a lot of motivation behind this film would have been the Manson family and, you know, the crimes that they committed. Interesting, you know, you definitely feel that with this film. And, yeah, just going on with what it's actually about, you know, the girls meet up with the sickos and they just go through hell and they eventually they get killed. But then this group of people happen to end up at the house of the parents of the main girl. And that's when you get your sick revenge. And the parents are actually pretty bad actors, I have to say. But, you know, they did alright. So what ends up happening, you know, they get revenge, they find out, you know, who these people are, what they've done, and this is sort of where your feelings get a little mixed up, and, you know, you can definitely debate about it. It does make you think. You wonder what you would do in the situation of the girls. Would you have reacted the same way? Do you think you could have got away from the killers? Or if you were the parents, would you have gone that far? You know, do you think, how would you take out your revenge on these people? It's you can actually feel a little bit conflicted as well. And I think, you know, this film does work. It is quite brutal. All the silly things about it, I appreciate. It was a good effort. Another similar film is I Spit on Your Grave, which is a very, very brutal film, another one from the 70s. It's probably known as like a rape revenge film. So you get this, you know, an innocent woman who goes out on her own, she just wants to be on her own, relax, and these bunch of guys basically come in, torture her, put her through the most just horrible thing you could do to somebody, and it lasts like, I think it's 40 minutes or something. It's quite long, you see everything, it's horrible. I mean, I had trouble watching it, and obviously, I said, you know, there's revenge, so once they do what they do to her, she's a changed person, and she takes out her revenge on her attackers. And, you know, that does make you wonder, what would you do if you were her? Like, is she justified in her actions? See, it's not just something, you know, like an exploitation. I think something like this actually does make you think. And, you know, you do feel a little bit conflicted, you know, is she right, is she wrong? I've watched the film several times. I have it on DVD and I listen to the director's commentary, and that actually is quite interesting to hear what he has to say, why he made the film, what was his motivation behind it. So yeah, if you actually are, you know, really want to check out this film, watch it once normally and then watch it with the commentary. I think you'll actually feel a bit different about it. So, you know, it feels like this. My enjoyment more comes out of how they make me feel, the debate I can have afterwards. I don't really want to see that kind of thing, but, you know, unfortunately stuff like this does happen, and, you know, if it happens to you, you have to deal with it. We'll go on to something a little bit different. You know, we'll talk about maybe your vampire films. What's appealing about vampires and werewolves? For me, one of the things is just the evolution of the myth of both things, you know. Since the 30s when we had Dracula and Wolfman, and the myths kind of evolved and changed over time. One of my favourite horror films is Near Dark, and it's probably my all-time favourite vampire film. And what really, you know, grabbed me in this is they sort of just tried to take out a lot of myth with it. You know, there's no garlic stuff and there's no crosses and holy water and all that kind of stuff. The vampires basically avoid the sun and they have to feed as the core, and you know, it works so well, this film, having all that taken out. They don't actually mention the word vampire in the film, but you know that's what they are. The characters are great. I think Bill Paxton plays Severin is one of the best characters in film. He's just awesome. The two leads just had a fantastic chemistry. There is, you know, a love story, as you usually find with a vampire film, and it works so well. And you just, you know, you kind of look at it as if you were the vampires, or if you were her, what would you do in either situation? It's really, you know, what would you do to survive if you were a vampire? I think it does make you think, you know, something very, very awesome. The film is actually quite a bit gory, but it works well and it fits in with it. It does actually feel justified. It's not there to shock you, it's just, you know, it's got to show, you know, these guys have been around for hundreds of years, this is what they, you know, do. So, yeah, that would be one I would highly recommend, especially if, you know, you're one of the people who watch Twilight. Twilight, so, is not a vampire film, I'm sorry. Lots of people probably hate me for this, but, you know, I haven't read the books, I don't really have any interest in reading them. The film, I just thought, was awful. I laughed through it. I thought everything about it was just so terrible, it was so funny. It worked on the so bad it's good level. But you want to see a real vampire film with a real strong love story, actual chemistry, check out Near Dark. Let's have a look at werewolf films. My personal favourite, An American Werewolf in London. It's also like a horror comedy. It is quite brutal. It has some awesome transformation effects. You know, it still holds up pretty well today, considering what they had to make it with in, like, I think it was made in 1980, 1981. It is so much fun. It is so funny. The guys, they worked so well together. I can't even find a fault with this film. It's just, it's great. And I know people who don't like horror at all, who don't really give a, you know, care about werewolves, and they've put it on for them and they've actually quite enjoyed it. So, you know, I think it's a great starting point, definitely. So, you know, whether or not I've actually given you an insight into horror and make you maybe want to go out and watch one, I don't know. But at least, you know, try to offer some insight, my perspective of it. I guess, you know, your other type of films which have come out more recently are sort of really gore-infested films, like Saw or Hostel. See, Saw, I liked the first film, I liked the second film, I didn't really want to be bothered watching anymore. I thought the story was told, it's just going to be the same thing over and over again. But what was sort of interested me more was, in the first one, it was just this horrible situation and it freaked me out. And then the ending it had just was like, oh my god, why don't we have endings like this anymore? It just had one of those really awesome, awesome endings. And just the brutal things they went through, you know, it's one of those things, like I've been saying, it makes you think, like, what would I do if I was, you know, handcuffed in this weird basement thing? Would I cut my foot off to escape, or would I just, you know, want to cark it? And, you know, again, Hostel is a bit of the same. You know, these backpackers end up in a hostel, and then they kind of get taken away, and they're going to get tortured. What would you do in this situation? You know, what sort of people would want to, you know, pay to kill someone? You know, Hostel 1 and 2 sort of examine all of that, and it works quite well. I really liked both films. I'm a huge Eli Roth fan. I love the guy. He's just so fantastic. You know, it is hard to watch at times because what the people go through is just, it's over the top. You know, there's this point in the film where you just think, you know, I've seen so much and I'm sitting through watching some of this stuff. It's bloody disgusting. like, how much is too much? How much violence are we exposed to these days? You know? See, these kind of films, they've got a message. You just think it's all, you know, this and that, but you know, yeah, horror, it has a message. Listen to it. Although there is a lot of really awful horror out there, and some of it is really, really bad, and it's so bad that it is bad, and some is so bad that it's really, really good. You know, I'd say Children of the Corn is absolutely awful, but it is just so hilarious in how bad it is that it has a high, you know, enjoyment factor for me. But, you know, with horror, you do get a lot of really bad ones, and you kind of got to see what other people might think about it, but you got to take a risk. Something someone might not like, you might like, and vice versa. See, one film people always raved about was The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And when I finally sat down and watched it, I hated it. I thought it was terrible. I did not like it at all. I could not understand what the fuss was about. So overrated. But then I watched it again, and I actually kind of started liking it. And then I bought a special edition DVD, which I think I got off eBay, because it's a region one. And I watched it again, and I watched it with director's commentary, and just the more I watched it, the more I actually started to like it, and I thought, you know, maybe it's not so overrated. There is something, you know, great about this film. So, you know, sometimes they got to sort of, you know, give them a few watches, and maybe then you'll start to appreciate them, but, You know, can't knock it until you try it, as the saying goes. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like my explanation of horror, why I like it, what I watch, what films I enjoy. There's a lot, and I haven't mentioned a lot, but, you know, I don't want to make this thing go on for hours and hours and hours, so, yes, if you have, you're not a big horror fan, you're not really into horror, maybe try give some of these horror comedies a go. See how you like them. I definitely try and get everyone I know to watch Reanimator because it is awesome and it is fun. But you know, if you can take a chance on something a lot more brutal, you know, give it a shot. You know, see how it makes you feel. I actually had got my mum to watch Last House on the Left and I Spit on Your Grave, and you know what? She liked them. She liked them, and she, you know, some things she said were hard to watch, but she liked them, and she liked the way they got revenge in those films. So, there you go. Mum doesn't like horror, she liked those films. Okay, so I might wrap it up. I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I hope you will listen to my future ones. I am hoping I'll have some guests on, which will be fun. So over and out.